A little bit later on this evening, we've got Columbus Blue Jackets hockey as the Jackets play host to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And here to tell us more about that with the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network, friend of the show, the one and only Ryan Mitchell. Ryan, thank you as always for joining us. How are you?
Oh, my pleasure, fellas. How's everything going up there?
The sun's up, believe it or not, up here. It's not snowing. It's cold, but it's not freezing cold. So the outlook is pretty darn good for the time being. So we'll definitely take it. I understand the outlook's not as great, though, for the Jackets, unfortunately. They've lost three out of their last four. They've lost five out of their last eight. What's been the primary problem for the Jackets of late?
Well, scoring goals. And if you don't score goals, it's hard to win hockey games, right? I mean, you can have the best goaltender in the world, and they may have that in Sergei Bobrovsky, although he's looked less than Vezina-like over this last handful of games. But a lot of that has to do with the play in front of him and not quite as much his talent. It's still there. He's still, for my money, the best goalie in the world. But if you don't score goals, it doesn't matter. You know, if your goaltender has a spectacular, you know, a 198 goals against average or 220 goals against, if you don't score any or you only score one, you're going to lose every single time. And so they just haven't been scoring enough goals. We've talked already a couple of times this year about the power play woes. That struggle has continued. They're last in the league, right about 10% still. And it's a problem that, again, as we've talked about, even goes back to last year. So they've got to figure something out on the power play because they're missing out their opportunities. They scored a power play goal in garbage time yesterday, or excuse me, the last game against Boston with only 14 seconds left. I don't even know if you can really count that because Boston was already in the dressing room mentally, I think. So they've got to find a way to score on the power play, and they've got to pick it up 5-on-5 because that was the part of their game that was helping them grind out wins. 5-on-5 play, scoring goals, they're at even strength. And, of course, in overtime, 3-on-3, they've been fantastic, but they've got to find a way to score when they have the man advantage.
Sure. Perhaps one of the bright spots, though, for the Blue Jackets has been Josh Anderson. Anyone who follows the Blue Jackets saw what happened the beginning of the year. He was kind of a holdout and then eventually comes back to the team. Did anyone expect him to be having the year that he's having right now, leading the team 13 goals?
Well, if you would have asked, is Josh Anderson going to lead the team in goals, nobody would have said yes. But they expected him to take a leap in his growth. You know, he's still a very young player. He showed what he's capable of last year. But his game has definitely stepped up. He believes in himself. He is a huge-bodied guy that can skate, and he's going to cause a lot of matchup problems for teams with what he can do. His hands are very good. They're maybe not great with a stick handling in close to the body, but he battles for pucks. He does everything that you want a big power forward to do. He has been accountable. He's been noticeable. So I don't know if it's necessarily a huge surprise that he has made a big leap forward. But to have him leading the team in goals this year when you've got guys like Cam Atkinson, you had Artemi Panarin coming over from Chicago with the trade, nobody would have thought that Anderson would be your leading goal scorer to this point. So it's kind of a yes or no, yes and no answer to your question.
Sure. I remember beginning of the year, you told us a couple of guys to keep an eye out on were some former Cleveland players in Pierre-Luc Dubois and Sonny Milano. And Pierre-Luc Dubois has become one of those guys that now teams are singling out to try and prevent him from getting to the goal. I know Boston was giving him some problems in that game on Monday night so much, so he actually ended up dropping the gloves and getting into a fight. And that shows a little growth out of a guy like him as well, does it not?
It does, and he's another guy like Anderson who is a big-bodied individual. He has a presence out on the ice. I don't know that his presence is going to equate to a lot of dropping the gloves. That seems to be going farther and farther away from the NHL. But it was a game where something maybe needed to happen. I don't know that he looked real comfortable throwing the hands, but he was in a situation where he felt it needed to be done, and so he did it. And that's what hockey players do. But absolutely, it's a guy that was not, and you were talking about Josh Anderson, not expected to be the top line center or even a center to begin with, but that's exactly what he's turned out to be. He is centering the top line because Alexander Wenberg has not fit the bill. He has not played as well this year as he did last year. Last year was a big year of growth for Wenny, and this year he just has not been as noticeable. But there are positive signs for Wenberg because over the past couple of games, the points have been adding up a little bit, and it appears the game is starting to get going.
And I know Torts has been very vocal about the leadership on this team to go back to the lack of scoring from the Columbus Blue Jackets. He was talking about that again here today. For those who may not see every Blue Jackets games, I mean, Anderson and Pierre-Luc Dubois are both some of the younger players. Who are some of those leaders on that team that kind of need to get that fire under them?
Well, there's a lot of them, and I don't know that it's any one guy in particular, but when you talk about the leadership group, and that's, you know, the Jackets talk about those veteran guys, obviously the captain, Nick Foligno, Boone Jenner wears the A, as does Jack Johnson. Those obviously are part of your leadership group. Cam Atkinson is a guy who's been around for a long time now, and he's going to be around even longer with that contract extension he just signed. Those are the guys that need to get back to what they've done is in terms of their career averages. And if you look back at the end of this season and those guys have reached their career averages, then what that's going to mean is that their second half would have been far better than their first, and that's exactly what the Jackets need. Now, all that being said, Nick Foligno is not a 35-goal-a-year guy. He's never been that. Matt Calvert is a leader on this team, but he's never been a prolific scorer either. And Boone Jenner had one 30-goal season, but I don't know that that's what you can expect out of him and his style of play. So this team does have to score more goals, and they have to get more production from the leadership group. And everybody to a man has said that. And I think that's going to come around because they have a track record of success. Now, that doesn't mean that it's going to come around just because it has in the past. They're going to have to do the work. But I certainly think they have the personnel in place to play the way that they're capable of playing.
Of course, tonight the Columbus Blue Jackets take on the Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll have a portion of that game here after our high school basketball coverage concludes. According to Torts today, he mentioned in his press conference it's going to be Jonas Korpisalo who steps in between the pipes tonight against the Toronto Maple Leafs. This gives Sergei some much-needed time off, perhaps. He's been playing a heavy load here, hasn't he?
He has. There's back-to-back, so he's going to go against Pittsburgh. I don't know that I would call it a heavy load, though, because they've been very cognizant of how much he has been working. He's played a couple of back-to-backs, both ends. But by and large, there has been a day off or 2 days off in between the games that he's played. So I don't think they have to worry too much about overworking him. Mm-hmm. But this is a situation where maybe he can just use a mental game just to clear things out after what happened that last time out, 7 goals against Boston. And really, there were one or two that Bob would like to have back probably. But for the most part, there were breakdowns and a lot of odd man rushes coming back at him. Even when you're Sergei Bobrovsky, those are going to wind up in the net as often as not. Now, he'll make some spectacular highlights, and he did, but you can only ask your goalie to do so much. So he gets the night off. Corpy's going to go in. My guess is that Bob's right back in there against Pittsburgh.
Again, we're talking with Ryan Mitchell of the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. You guys just alluded to one of the things that we could look for tonight with Sergei Bobrovsky not between the pipes for the Blue Jackets. With that matchup coming our way a little bit later on this evening against the Toronto Maple Leafs, what other things should we be looking for in this matchup later on this evening?
Well, the Leafs are going to be without Austin Matthews, so that's a big blow to them. He's been out. This is going to be a 6-game young phenom from Arizona. So that, I guess, is to the benefit of the Blue Jackets. But on the other side of that coin, Columbus is going to be without Zach Werenski tonight. The young defenseman has been battling with an injury. They're calling it the ever-ominous body injury. So they're giving him a game off, and hopefully he'll be back in there again against Pittsburgh like Bobrovsky will. So both of these teams are missing some key components. So I guess the thing to watch out for is who else steps up and makes something happen. You're going to see Curtis McElhaney, the former Blue Jacket, in goal for Toronto. So that's kind of an interesting tidbit. You've got the backup goalie from last year taking on the guy, essentially, who took his place on the roster a season ago. So those are a couple of things to keep your eye on.
Fun little storyline there.
Yeah. The body injury, is that like a left shin contusion, or is that like a sore elbow, or is that like, you know...
Is the ultimate in vagary, because usually they'll tell you upper body or lower body. Hockey is that way. There are a couple of teams that have just eschewed that and say, listen, the guy's got a bum shoulder or whatever. But, of course, they want to keep other teams from targeting any injury. So usually it's upper body or lower body. We've had two or three times this year where the Jackets have just said, he's got a body injury.
Yeah. Sure. That's, of course, a hockey thing. I'll ask you this, though, Ryan. As a member of the media, Ken Hitchcock of the Dallas Stars came out earlier this year and said, that's kind of silly. We'll come out. We'll tell you exactly what that injury is for the Dallas Stars players. What do you think on that? Do you like that? Is that sort of the fun of hockey there with the where's his hand being held, upper body, lower body thing?
Yeah, I saw that from Hitch, and that's kind of what I was alluding to, and teams kind of saying, all right, fellas, what are we doing here? Because teams are so consumed about what they are doing that I don't know that there's time in the day.
Sure.
To worry about, well, this guy's got a left knee injury, so let's approach him from this side of the ice. There are too many moving parts on a sheet of hockey ice, really, to even take that into consideration. The game moves so fast. So that was kind of Hitch's point. Listen, we're not we're not worried about somebody trying to target somebody's left pinky if we tell them it's a left pinky. We're just going to, you guys, your reporters are good enough these days. They can get enough information. They'll find out what it is. So let's just get it out there, get ahead of the story, and move on with our lives. Sure. I love it.
And then, Ryan, real quick, I just wanted to ask you, importance of tonight's game. I know Torts came out and said he's not worried about his team losing games. He's worried about in the fashion they lose it. Should we not be paying too much attention to right now the struggles?
Well, and Torts also said, I don't care where we're at in the standings in December. Mm-hmm. But although he said that, a few days ago they were in first, and right now they're in fourth in the Metro. Now, that's the caveat to that is there are, you know, five teams in the Metro all within 2 or 3 points. So Those standings will change on a daily basis. You want to win. You mentioned at the very top of this interview they lost 3 out of 4, and 2 of those were in really, really ugly, bad fashion. So, you know, Toronto is not a divisional. They're a conference foe. You want those 2 points. You want to put them in the bank. I don't know that Torch is going to be overly concerned if they lose a 3-2 hockey game where they play really well and maybe a full beats them. Mm-hmm. But if they lose 7-2 again, you can bet he's going to have some things to say.
Be a quick press conference, perhaps.
Maybe.
Yeah, just like the one was last week when he walked
Edmonton.
In. Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan, we always appreciate the time, my friend. Always appreciate you giving us some interesting tidbits on the Blue Jackets and what they've got going on. Happy holidays to you and yours, and safe travels to you and your family as well.
All right, guys. Right back at you. Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you. Again, that's Ryan Mitchell with the Columbus Blue Jackets Radio Network. We will join the Blue Jackets Radio Network in progress as they play host to the Toronto Maple Leafs a little bit later on tonight. That comes your way on AM 930 WEOL when our Cleveland Clinic cage matchup wraps up between Keystone and Buckeye.